the transformation of Quicken Loans Arena. Big PR campaign on this thing. Maybe, you know, you've heard the commercials. You saw some things on TV about it, what the queue might look like in the future to land things, even in the near future, like an NBA All-Star game. And then the deal evidently came apart, and the Cavs pulled out. Kevin Kleps writes on sports business at Crane's Cleveland Business, posted a real good story yesterday, and I tweeted a link to it, and he joins us this morning. Kevin, good morning. Thanks for the time, pal.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Mike, let's start this way. And Kevin wrote this. I mean, you talk about a topsy-turvy post-championship, the regular season followed by the playoff rounds, and then just it seems like there's every noisy news story from Kyrie to
it's been about every other day this summer.
Kevin, it's been drama, it seems like, with this franchise, you know?
They've had a heck of a year, I'll tell you what. It's just they can't go a week without making some kind of news, and it's usually in some kind of goofy manner. And this might have been the goofiest of the bunch because of the way they unveiled it back in December. It was this big, splashy package, and this was going to happen, and then opposition grew as the days mounted.
It seemed like the PR job got out a bit too far in front from the reality of the politics of this thing, Kevin. What's your take?
Yeah, I think that was a problem. I think the way they unveiled it as if it was going to happen with a lot of the negotiating already done, and then they have the big splashy website, and they already have the main city and county leaders on board without anyone really knowing about it going on. I think that was a big problem for them. That seemed to tick some people off. And then once those progressive groups got involved and they had their voices heard loud and clear, that and public sentiment kind of grew, that really snowballed on them. I don't think the Cavs saw it happening the way it did. I think that they thought because they had the major leadership on board that this was going to be okay, but obviously it didn't work out the way they thought it would.
Kevin, in your piece, you do a heck of a job here, really just analytically breaking this all down, and really just very objectively, this building is in need of a facelift, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I don't think it's in need of one right now, but when you have an arena that's 22 years old, actually turning 23 soon, that you need to do something about its future. And everyone says, oh, the queue is busy, they're doing a good job, all this other stuff, which is true. They are doing a good job of keeping it busy, and that's a credit to them. But they do also have to plan for its future. And 5-6 years from now, I don't know what kind of acts we're getting. Are they still going to get the same kind of acts? Are they still going to be as busy if the arena is now 27, 28 years old and maybe showing some real signs of wear and tear? So they did have to do something, and they do have to address its future. It's just the way they handled it backfired on them, and now they're at a crossroads where no one's quite sure what's going to happen.
Yeah, news a couple weeks ago, the queue ranked 11th in the country, 30th in the world in ticket sales between the concerts and the Cavs. It, of course, is a big part of the economic engine for Cleveland and for this region. Kevin Kleps at Crane's Cleveland Business with us. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Kevin and Mike, there are, as Kevin points out, there are six NBA arenas older than the queue, but a couple of those are going to be replaced with new venues. And, Mike, you're seeing that, right?
Around the league. And also, Kevin, as you kind of break it down, the Cavs, quote, skin in the game in terms of what they were willing to put up in terms of the actual dollars here. How would you compare it to what you've seen in other cities with their arenas?
If you go by past deals, it's a pretty favorable deal and one that is would be good for the public. But as I wrote, the trend seems to be kind of shifting, whereas as these city and county budgets get tighter and tighter, and as tax dollars and breaks have been taken away from city and county from national and state levels, that you see less and less money going to these public stadiums and arenas. And if you look at the last 6 or 7 major NBA arenas and renovations, it's been more private money than public money. Like, it's hard to compare Golden State to Cleveland because San Francisco, the Bay Area, is totally different. They have different venture capitalist owners. But that arena is totally being funded privately. And then but I think the better comparison is the one in Detroit, which is a $900 million new arena, which is, I mean, obviously an expense that Cleveland would not want to take on, but that's about 5-3 in terms of private versus public, but that's still a ton of public money. I think it's like $320 million in public dollars. But there is a trend now where you see more private money, where ownership is paying for more than it used to. I think just because these budgets are getting tighter, and because frankly, public sentiment seems to be more and more against this kind of stuff than it used to be.
I think we look at the queue, though, as I think you detail the events. It is much more than the Cleveland Cavaliers that goes into the use of that building and what comes into our community, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's as important a facility as just about anyone around here. I mean, you can't compare it to First Energy and Progressive Field just because it's busy so many nights a year. You're occupying 200-some nights a year, and only 100 of those are basketball. You're filling it up with other stuff, and that's bringing in other tax dollars. I think the total was for local and state taxes was $46 million for the Q last year. So it's an important economic engine for the region, and it's important to the surrounding businesses. So, and they have to figure out a way to get this done, whether it's more private money coming in or figuring out a new deal or what, but they got to figure out something.
All right, let me get you out of here on this. The gotta part, 2027, they're committed to. Until then, the Cavs made a big part, or at least of this promotion, I thought, of saying, yeah, we'll commit even longer term. We'll put in money and the county and the state, or the city and tax revenue. That 2027 date is still a hard date then at this point. I know it's 10 years off, but I've heard about teams that leave cities.
Yep. Yeah, that's something that we're going to be hearing a lot about in the next few years. And I highly doubt that Dan Gilbert will move the team. I just don't see it happening. There might be some talk about it, and there might be even some rumblings within leadership just because they're ticked off of how this collapsed. But I don't see it happening. I think he would sell the team before he would move it just because he knows how it would be vilified. But I really don't see him selling it either, just at least not in the near future. It just, like I said, there's got to be some way for them to figure out how to do this, and the time is ticking, because if they are thinking about 2027, they're going to want to have deals in place 3 years before that, so they got to start thinking about this ASAP.
Kevin Kleps at Crane's Cleveland Business, a good read. Story posted yesterday about the future of the queue, rather complicated, and follow him on Twitter too, Kevin Kleps. Pal, appreciate it. I know you had to drop the kids off, and it's already been a busy morning for you. Oh, by the way, Hayden's no longer a Brown, so you got to get into that story too.
Yeah, we got some stuff going on as always.
All the time.
Thanks,
here, Kevin. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Kevin Kleps with us. Now, Mike, short term, there was a lot of push to get this thing started because of the weather and to get moving on the queue so we could be in a plan the NBA All-Star game.
All right. I mean, I think there was a real hope, as I understood it, really going back into the spring, that they would have really been well advanced by now,
right,
in terms of what they wanted to do, with the hope then of landing that NBA All-Star game in, I think, 2020 or 2021. Now, that's all changed, according to the statement from the Cavs earlier this week, that already now you're so far behind that even the price tag figures have changed for the construction costs, and now the NBA All-Star game is out of the picture, until something would happen. So there's no hope for that right now, at least in the near future.
My take: I don't see that Gilbert made a mistake in this. Looked to me like he was negotiating honestly. He's putting skin in the game, as Kevin points out. You compare what he was doing to these other teams, and politically, it showed to me, at least in this town, that the mayor, Budish at the county level, they just, at times, they're not as powerful as you think they might be. They can't get it done.
Yeah, it was the way this thing unfolded. And if you look around, and I was looking at Kevin's article, again, with Crane's Cleveland Business, that if you look at what the Cavs were doing, they were, it looks very comparable or better than some of the other deals,
right,
that the teams have done in,
right,
terms of what they wanted to do. And I know they've taken care of that building. And I'll say this, that over the years, I think that with under Gilbert's ownership there, they've really increased the events that are going on. The hockey now has been successful. That was like struggling. Now they're getting good crowds for the Monsters on a regular basis, and some of the other events they've brought in there. So they've really kept it kind of humming down there, almost 200 nights a year.
On the other side of it, it's two cities. You can get in a car within 10 minutes from the queue and be in parts of this town that you don't want to be in. And I think that's played out in this whole debate. And they wanted to get it on the ballot, and they had the signatures to do it, and they thought it was going to go down. So they pulled the whole thing. So we'll see what's up next for Mayor Jackson and Budish and the rest of them as they maybe try and get this thing back on track. All right, Kevin Kleps, Crane's Cleveland Business. Good piece. See it there. Thanks, Kev.